Bibles and would like to turn with me. We're going to be in the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel today. As you're looking for that, let me congratulate you because it is 2024, another presidential election year. Well, let's imagine that a presidential candidate is coming to Milford today, and they're going to be at Smoke Street at 3 p.m. for some barbecue this afternoon. Let's imagine you want to see this candidate, so you park here at the church, because it's free parking and you're a church member. And you decide you're going to walk downtown. You're walking downtown a little before 3, and you notice that it's really crowded on the main street. So you end up standing at the curb, squished between other people, and just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's kind of like perhaps a crowded Memorial Day parade. You look around, you see that some that came early, they're sitting in lawn chairs. There are some others that are standing out there holding crying babies. And it seems like almost everybody's holding either a camera or their cell phone, using as a camera, waving it around. So you wait for the arrival of the police escort. You wait for the Secret Service guys to show up. You wait for the endless stream of limos to come down the street. You look for the helicopters that you expect to be flying overhead. And you wait for the Milford High School marching band to come down the street playing some patriotic song. But there are no helicopters. You don't see any police cars or limos. What you see is some guy coming down the middle of the street riding a kid's bicycle. And there's about a dozen guys wearing jeans and t-shirts that are jogging along behind him. And you hear people whispering, "Well, it looks like him." And others start cheering and throwing their hats up in the air. So you cheer along with him, but it's not what you expected. He sure doesn't seem like the sort of guy that can fix what's wrong in this country or deal with all those immigrants that are hanging around. Welcome to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Welcome to the confusion and disappointment that follows Jesus into that town. You hear Jesus is coming, the guy that can walk on water, that raised Lazarus, a dead man, from the tomb. So you wait for the chariots drawn by the great stallions. You wait for the armed guards that will surround him. And all you see is, well, quite frankly, a cartoon character. You see a grown man sitting on a tiny donkey with his feet dragging the ground, surrounded by a handful of guys that look like they're homeless. And these guys aren't waving swords. They're singing a song from the church hymn book, from Psalm 118. Let me share that song with you. "The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Even though people are paving the streets with their coats as a sign of reverence, And even though they're waving palm branches as a symbol of deliverance, it just doesn't feel right to you. You sing along, but you don't get it. He seems like the wrong king. But if you listen closely, you can hear God speaking through that little donkey. Listen, beginning in verse 28 of Luke 19. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." You know, Jesus could have ridden a stallion into Jerusalem if he wanted to. Jesus could have had a chariot drawn by multiple horses going into Jerusalem if he wanted to. What's up with his donkey? The donkey tells us that we have a God who is reliable, a God who is accessible, and a God who refuses to allow any human expectations to stand in the way of his redemptive love. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful as we approach this holiday we call Easter. That everything in that week that precedes the resurrection celebrated on Easter was orchestrated by you. That everything that happened occurred so that we might know that you can be trusted. That your arms are open to us. That your love will overwhelm us if we receive it. Father, teach us your truth this morning, we pray, in this little donkey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This little donkey tells us several things about God. The first it tells us is that God is reliable. What does that mean? The donkey says that you can trust God. The donkey reveals that God always keeps his word, and you can rely on all of his promises. You know, centuries earlier, before a donkey carried that pregnant girl Mary to Bethlehem, centuries before that, God promised that he would come to town this way. You'll see, I think it's printed top of your bulletin in Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Centuries before that first Palm Sunday occurred, God had already promised people that their Messiah would come into town, not riding a stallion, not in a chariot, but riding on a little donkey. You know, Jesus chose this donkey. It wasn't because he couldn't find or create a stallion. He chose this donkey to keep his promise. Now, it's easy to look at this and say, well, what's the big deal? It's just a donkey. The big deal is, if God won't break a little promise about a donkey, he won't break any of his big promises. You know, like the one we find in the New Testament that says, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It means God won't break that promise where Jesus said, I am with you always. When he said, "I go to prepare a place for you," where Jesus said, "I will never leave nor forsake you." If we're honest about it, we all live amid the broken rubble of unkept vows, of unfulfilled promises that leave us feeling abandoned, forgotten, and disappointed. I think perhaps we all wish for one friend whose word can always be trusted, who can always be counted on to love and care for us. This donkey says, God says, Jesus Christ is that person, that he's reliable and he can always be trusted, that our God always keeps his word. You may be sitting here thinking, well, maybe this doesn't seem like a big deal to me. Well, maybe you've never been sitting for a long time in a hospital emergency room, or found yourself laying in a hospital bed in the ICU. Maybe you've never been dumped by someone. Maybe you have more reliable friends than you need. Maybe you just feel like you don't need anybody. But if you need somebody, you should take a close look at the man on that little donkey, because he keeps every promise and he never abandons his friends. Listen to the donkey. This donkey says that God is approachable. You know, in Scripture, the donkey is always a humble creature that's associated with the poor, associated with the underprivileged, associated with the insignificant people in the world. In choosing to ride this donkey, Jesus identified with those people, with us people. Riding that donkey, Jesus became like us in every fashion. Now, there were, and still are, many people who claim that God's presence is exclusive, that it's restricted to only those who eat certain foods, a kosher diet, That God's presence is restricted to those who bathe a certain way. The mitzvah, that Friday bath that those Jews would take in Jesus' day before they would go on the Sabbath to the synagogue or the temple. Some that claim that God is restricted to those who only worship at a certain place or worship in a certain way. That God is restricted to only those who give a certain amount at certain times. And yet, Jesus ate with Zacchaeus. Jesus touched lepers. And Jesus chose to ride a little donkey. Then as now, some claim that God was indifferent and unsympathetic to human sorrow, that he is far removed from the temptations we struggle with. I'd like to remind you that Jesus did not come as a priest. He did not come as a politician. He did not come as a soldier. He came and was a carpenter. Just an everyday guy to join in our struggles. You know, it would be hard to approach a king in a coach. It would be hard to approach a warrior riding a stallion or a priest concerned with staying away from the unclean. But you know, it's pretty easy to approach a man riding a child's pet. And that's the same way God invites you to approach him today. He wants you to know there's nothing or no one that stands in your way, that you can come just as that old hymn says, just as I am. Jesus said, bring me a donkey. Anybody here ever ridden a donkey? Anybody here ever try to ride a little donkey where your feet would drag the ground? Jesus said, bring me a donkey. You know, it's hard to be pretentious or full of yourself when you're bouncing along a tiny donkey with your feet dragging the ground. Jesus rode that donkey not because he was trying to prove a point or to mislead folks, but because that is who he really is. Albert McClellan wrote about this scripture. He said, sending for the donkey was not a mere gesture. He sent for the donkey because it was a reality for him. He was not very God trying to be man or very man trying to be God. He was both very God and very man. He sent for the donkey because his kingdom was very different from all other kingdoms. It was not a kingdom of preference, but a kingdom of servanthood. He sent for the donkey because he was one of the people, by the people, and for the people, as much as he was of God, by God, and for God. He sent for the donkey because he was what he attempts to get all other men to be, manifestly himself. That's what God invites us to be, what we're meant to be. His friends, his family, living in honest fellowship with him. He wants us to be real, to be who we are. Hey, if God calls you to ride a donkey, ride a donkey. If God calls you to drive a BMW, then drive a BMW. But be honest with yourself and be honest with God and be who you really are. And I think that's a challenge for every Christian in our world today, to be as approachable and as accessible as our Lord Jesus Christ was. You know, it's harder to ride a donkey than you think it is. Listen to the donkey. The donkey says, God is available. The donkey tells us that God is bigger than our expectations and that God is capable of relating and responding in ways beyond our imagination. On that first Palm Sunday, those Jews expected, and some still do, a grand entrance for that Messiah. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably more comfortable with that kind of God. It's a lot easier to deal with a God that rains wrath on our enemies and crushes our critics under our heels rather than deal with a God that says, turn the other cheek. Go that second mile. Judge not. Love your enemies. Be kind to everyone. If we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with the temptations of power. Henry Nouwen writes, one of the greatest ironies in the history of Christianity is that its leaders constantly gave in to the temptation of power. Political power, military power, economic power, or moral and spiritual power, even though they continue to speak in the name of Jesus, who did not cling to his divine power, but emptied himself of it and became as we are. The temptation, he writes, to consider power an apt instrument for the proclamation of the gospel is the greatest of all. Why? It offers an easy substitute for love. It's easier to be God than to love God. It's easier to control people than to love people. It's easier to own life than to love life. I think it's easier for us to think of God as far away than it is to find him right in the midst of our everyday life. Looking at this donkey reminds us that God is not limited to one's expectations. God is not restricted to one's prejudicial thinking. This donkey tells us that God is approachable. In all situations labeled hopeless, to all we've given up on, he is available. Listening to this donkey tells us the good news about Easter. Easter is about redemption, justification, sanctification for you and me. As he approached Jerusalem that day, Jesus reminds us, I guess the question of Palm Sunday will be, who will you choose? Verses 41 through 40. Let's listen to what Jesus said one more time. He said, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. These days, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, encircle you, and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your wall. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. On this Palm Sunday, you can either choose to serve the real king or choose to serve the wrong king. But it's up to you. I think this is a good day to listen to the donkey, who tells us that we have a God who is reliable, a God who is accessible, and a God who refuses to allow any human expectations to stand in the way of his redemptive love. Let us pray. Father God, It is overwhelming. When I contemplate that Jesus chose to leave the perfection of that place we call heaven and come here and endure all that he did because of that divine love for us. So Father God, I must confess, there are some days where I'm not all that lovable. Some days where I'm less than holy. And yet, Jesus chose to come. And he chose that little donkey so there would be no doubt that he came for all who would choose to approach and receive him. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the difference your grace and mercy make on a life of all who receive him in faith. Father, we praise you and give thanks for that Savior who chose the donkey. Guide us this week that we might live continually in your presence and be about your purpose, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.